Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Nun Hey. We left off in daf Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. We were talking about being mishtamesh b'tzidei behema b'tzidei ilanos. We said certainly on the top of the ilan, top of the behema, you're not allowed to be mishtamesh, but the sides of them. So we're going to finish that discussion. That's going to be the first order of business today to finish the discussion of tzadim and tzidei tzadim, the sides of the sides. We'll see what that is. The Mishnah is then going to discuss preparing food for animals on Shabbos, and the Gemara is going to tell us in machlokas amoraim whether animal food can be made and whether it can be improved on Shabbos, and we'll bring Raya's free Shita. Mishnah goes on to discuss different types of stuffing and force-feeding animals on Amud Beis, we're going to discuss, and the Gemara makes a distinction between the halachic issues of feeding animals that were responsible to feed and feeding animals that were not responsible to feed. And in the context of the discussion of feeding animals on Shabbos, the Gemara will briefly discuss whether we're supposed to feed stray dogs or not, and then the daf is going to finish with the discussion of how mixing water with bran for animals may not be a violation of lush, of kneading on Shabbos. We'll probably not get there today, but that's the end of the daf. So let's begin from Lema Kitanai, five lines from the bottom of the page. So we had a machlokes yesterday where we were discussing the story where Abaye found Rabba sliding his son down the back of a donkey on Shabbos. Abaye held that to do that is aser because it's a way of using an animal on Shabbos. That's an issur drabanan to prevent people from tearing a branch off of a tree. And Rabba held that it's mutter because the tzadin may be used on Shabbos. It's only an issur to use the top of the animal, the top of the tree, but the tzadin may you're allowed to use. So this is machlokas Abaye and Rabba. So says Gemara, this machlokas Abaye and Rabba mirrors a machlokas Tanaim. Ein olin lo b'yom tov. The Mishnah tells us when you have a sukkah that's made with two regular walls and one wall made up of a tree. So Tanakama says ein olin lo b'yom tov. You're not allowed to go into such a sukkah on yom tov. That seems like Abaye. Rav Shimon Elazar and Rav Shimon Meir. Shimon Elazar says in the name of Meir that you are allowed to go into it. That sounds like Rabba. My love, Bahakamivogi. The Marsav of Studin, Asurim, Marsav of Mutarin. They seem to be arguing about Studin, whether they're Asur or Mutar. So Abaye says, no, it's not a machlokas at all. Amra Abaye Lod, Kuli Alma, Studin, Asurin. For sure, Studin are Asur. Vahacha Betsidate Studin, Kamivogi. What they're arguing about over here is using something that's supported by the side of a tree, where you don't use the side of a tree directly, but the side of the tree supports something else, and you're using that. So that's where you have machlokas. Marsavar tzidei tzadin asurin, or marsavar tzidei tzadin mutarin. But everyone would agree that tzadin themselves, Abaye holds, are going to be asur like I hold. Rava amar manda asur bit tzadin, asur nami bit tzidei tzadin. Rava says, no, if you say that tzadin are asur, tzidei tzadin are also asur. And manda shari bit tzidei tzadin, shari nami bit tzadin. If you hold that tzidei tzadin are mutter, well then tzadin are mutter also. Meaning they have the same halacha, and therefore it is in fact a machlokas tanaim. The machlokas Abaye and Rabba does match up perfectly with that machlokas tanaim. So it says Mara Esver of Masharshi l'Rava. So Masharshi asks on Rava, Rava you taina that whatever you hold by tzadin, you have to hold by tzidei tzadin, and vice versa. Na'at yaseid bi'ilan. Let's say you stick a peg into a tree, v'talaba kalkala, and you hang a basket on that peg. So now the basket is not hanging directly on the tree, it's hanging on something that's supported by the tree. So if you place this peg with the basket more than 10 tefachim high off the ground, then the eruv that you put in there is not a valid eruv. Meaning we're assuming you're making an eruv tchumen over here. So you're trying to extend your tchum beyond the alpayim amma, beyond 2,000 amos. So the eruv has to be accessible to you. So and it has to be in the same domain that you're in. So when it's lemala me'asar tefachim, it's not a good eruv. Lemata me'asar tefachim, eruv eruv. But if it's lower than 10 tefachim, then it's going to be a good eruv. Says Rashi. Because then you and your Erev are in the same Rishos. You're both in a Rishos Rabin. But if it were higher than Asara Tvachim, and we assume a regular basket is wider than 4 Tvachim, so therefore 10 Tvachim high, 4 Tvachim wide, that makes it a Rishos Hayachid. And you're trying to be Kona Shvisa, you're trying to establish your residence on Shabbos in a Rishos Harabim. This is our introduction to Erevin. You very often have at the end of one Masechta, you start discovering the themes of the next Masechta. Eruvei Tchumen makes up a good chunk of the first part of Masechta's Erevin. So since it's in a Rishus Hayachid, and you're trying to be Konish Shvis in Rishus Harabim, it won't work, because you're not allowed to actually take the food from the basket on Shabbos. But what do you see over here? That forgetting about the Rishus Yach, Rishus Harabim issues, just in terms of access to the food, even if it were in a Rishus Harabim, Taima Dinat Yasid Bilan, the only way you'd be able to access this food anyway is if it's hanging on a peg that's hanging on the tree. But if it were not on a peg, it were directly on the tree, then even if it were below 10 tefachim, even if it were not a Rishus Yachid, it would not be a good Eruv. So what are we being mechalik? We're being mechalik between directly on a tree, on the side of a tree, which is Aser, and Sidet Stadin, on a peg, which is supported by the tree, which is Mutter. So you see, not like Rava. Rava said, whatever you hold by Stadin, you have to hold by Sidet Stadin, yet you see over here, we're clearly mechalik. So Rav Papa, Hach b'kalkola d'chuka askinan. Now maybe over here, we're talking about a very narrow basket. The Bahadi, the Shakalei le'Eruv, that the concern is that if it's hanging on the tree directly, when you try to take the Eruv, you're going to shake the basket so much because it's so narrow that you're going to end up moving the tree itself, and therefore it's going to be Hishtamshos B'ilan. So that's why we require a peg over here. It has nothing to do with Studden versus Sidet Studden. We're afraid it's not going to be Studden, it's going to be Hishtamshos B'ilan directly. Says the Gemara, so how do we paskin? That we paskin studin are aser, but tzidet studin are mutter, which means we're mechalik between the two. We're mechalik between studin and tzidet studin. Who said that there's a chilik between the two? That was Abaye. Rava said, whatever you hold by studin, you have to hold by tzidet studin. So it turns out that we're paskining like Abaye against Rava. Frek Tosfos and Dibur Maschel Vilchsa V'Temel Rebbe Amaylo Chashav Hani Bahati Yal Kigam Dalacha Kabaye. There are only six cases apparently that we say that Allah is like Abaye. There's Yal Kigam. This is not one of the Yal Kigam where we pass like Abaye. Damer Rav Amandaser B'Tzadn Aser Namni Sidet Tzadn V'Abaye Amar B'Tzadn Kuliyam Lo Pligi Daser Ubit Sidet Tzadn Pligi. This seems to be going exactly like Abaye, that when it comes to Tzadn, everyone will agree that it's Aser, and the whole Machlokas is by Tzidet Tzadn. That there is such a chiluk between Sadin and Tzidet Sadin. So what are we going to do? Why is this not one of the Yal Kigam? So the Achronim in the back of the Gemara all deal with this question. In the Malo Roim, he says, V'yesh lomar l'fimash kasav b'madane melech perakamid brachos marshak kiddushin dafnun bezem aralef d'lo nichla l'aklal azeh elehechi d'pligi alibad d'nafshayu v'lo echi d'pligi alibad d'tanayu o aplukto d'tanayu. Whenever the machlokas is about a machlokas tanayim, where they're commenting on the parameters of Machlokas Tanaim, that doesn't make it into the rule of Yal Kigam. The rule of Yal Kigam is only when it's a direct Machlokas Abaye and Rava. They are the initiators of a Machlokas, but not when they're arguing about a Machlokas Tanaim. So he says, Yeshlom Gam Kan, Tlo Pligi Rak Aliba de Tanai, Da Asvit Studin. They're arguing according to that Shita that holds that Studin is Aser, is Tzidet Studin also Aser? But the Shita that holds Studin is Mutter, they're not arguing about. Meaning they're arguing within a machlokas tanaim, how to understand the parameters of the machlokas tanaim. So that's why it doesn't make the Yal Kigam. In the Reim Horovitz in the back of the Gemara, he gives a different explanation why it's not in the Yal Kigam. V'yesh lomar b'pshitos to lo kaimlan kabayi b'hadamar de l'kuli al nasr b'tstadin. Who says we're passing like Abaye over here? Abaye said everyone agrees studin are Aser, and Sidet Studin is the Machlokas. Maybe we don't paskin that way, because we say that Studin, that maybe we don't, meaning we are Mechali between Studin and Sidet Studin in terms of what we paskin the Halacha, but not necessarily in terms of how we understand the Tanoim. V'rabba de lo kaman, elo de pligi bit Studin, v'kaimelon the Isura, maybe the machlokas is by studin. We happen to paskin le'isser. By tzidet studin, there is no machlokas, and everyone would hold that it's mutter, which is not the way Abaye understood. Abaye understood the machlokas is the machlokas is by, what did Abaye say? The machlokas is by, what did he say? Kuliyam l'tzadin asurim. By tzadin, everyone says it's asur. Tzidet tzadin is the machlokas. So maybe we hold, no, tzadin is the machlokas. See, they'd study, everyone holds his mutter. So therefore, we're not actually paskening like Abaye. It just gives that impression from the bottom line, but we're not actually paskening that way. Amar Ravashi, back in the Gemara, Hashadamrit studin asurin, hay darga de midla linche inish adikla davalut studin. Once we paskin that studin arasur, if you have a ladder that you need to climb, better not to lean it, not just better not, you're not allowed to lean it up against the tree, because that's going to be a shtamshus bitstadin, that's going to be using the sides of the tree. So what should you do? Elalinchi agavazi lebar midikla. So you should lean it on something that protrudes outside, beyond the tree, but you can't put it directly on the tree. And when you go down the ladder, you should be careful to put your feet on the rungs of the ladder and not the things that stick off the side of the tree, because you have to be careful about using the tzadin of the ilan. One more ha'ara from Tosfos. In the top Tosfos, we said when you make the eruv lamata mi'asar tfachim, your eruv is a good eruv. Fractosis kasha, amay eruv eruv, meaning granted, when it's higher than 10 tfachim, when you're dealing with a basket that's 4 tfachim wide, that's a rishus ha'yachid, and that's not the same rishus as the rishus ha'rabim that you're trying to be konish visa in. So we said when it's under 10 tfachim, it's definitely not a rishus ha'yachid. But is it a rishus ha'rabim? When you have a makam dalet al dalet tfachim, lower than 10 tfachim tall, again, some eruvin issues over here, lower than 10 tfachim tall, is that a rishus ha'rabim? That's not a rishus ha'rabim. That's what we call a karmelis. And the halacha is midra. One is not allowed to move something from a karmelis to a rishus rabim. So are you really being konish visa in a rishus rabim? Fractosos amay eruv eruv va karmelis hu kiven sharuchava arba va also l'taltel rishus rabim. You're not allowed to be metaltel from a karmelis to a rishus rabim. How is this a good eruv? So says Tosos yeshlomer in karmelis bekelim ki depirish b'kunch perakam de mechilton gabayisa kupaso munachas v'chulei. That number one answer number one is there's no karmelis in kelim. Karmelis has to be a rishus that's made up of something other than a kli, of normal ground or elevations. But a kli doesn't make karmelis. Kli can be rishus yachid, but not a karmelis. So that's answer number one. Answer number two, even more intriguing, inami kerebi damar kol davar shu mishum shvus lo gazra lo ben hashmashos. Maybe we're assuming like Rebbe that anything that's mishum shvus, there's no gzer ben hashmashos, meaning there's machlokas. Whether those things that are asr midrabanan, the rabbanan even asred during the period of ben hashmashos. So if you assume like Rebbe that those things that are asr midrabanan, that those things that are asr mishum shvus, there are not asr during ben hashmashos, when do you have to be kona your eruv? When do you have to be kona shvisa? During ben hashmashos you have to be kona shvisa. So as long as it's there and accessible during ben hashmashos, it's a good eruv. It is accessible to you in the karmelis to bring it to the rishus ram during ben hashmashos because it's only a shvus. But if it were rishus hayachid, it would not be accessible to you. Asks Rabbi Kiveger a bomb kasha over here. What is this entire discussion about? Why are we even talking about Eruv? Where did this come up? The whole context of this discussion is Hishtamshus Bi'ilan, that we're concerned that you're not allowed to use the tree. So the Gemara's whole raya from this whole case of Eruv is that it's going to be an Isra of Hishtamshus Bi'ilan, and that's why you have to put a peg in there, because otherwise the Eruv would not be accessible to you anyway, because you're not allowed to be Mishtamish Bi'ilan. Being Mishtamish Bi'ilan, Isra Daraisa or Isra Darabanan? Very clearly, an Issa Drabanan. If you're going to go with this answer of Tosfos Rabbi Kiveger right here in the Gilyan Hashas, Tamua, Dimkena Filulonats, Yasanami, Deshimush Bilan Avirak Shvus, Vlogazrin Ben Hashmashos. If you're going to say that we're not Gozer and any Issa Drabanan during Ben Hashmashos, well then the whole Gemara falls apart. The whole Raya of the Gemara is about Ishtamshus Bilan. So what do you need the peg for? So Acher Kach Reisi Shatamakin B'Chupas Mil Tzedaka Simites. He says, I saw the Mil Tzedaka also asked this kasha, and I have an answer. Says Rabbi Kiveger, Ulanias Daiti Yesh Lomer Denafkamina Be'erv Shabbos Shechalios B'Yomtov. What if Friday is Yontif? Then it will come out that it's a nafkamina. Why? V'niach eruv be'erv yomtov b'kalkalazu shia eruv liyomtov v'shabbos. You put this eruv tchum in there on erev yontif, and you wanted it to work for yontif and Shabbos. Ulefi debeis kedushos hein tzorek shia eruvo kayim ben hashmashos dekodem Shabbos. Since yontif and Shabbos are two separate kedushos, you need the eruv to be there on the ben hashmashos going from yontif into Shabbos, if you want the Erev to work for Shabbos. ubazem lo nas yase lo mahani eruvo l'shabbos to be nashmasho say niyach litol eruvo. So therefore, if you don't put the peg in there, you're not going to be allowed. You're not going to be able to take the eruv at all, and even during the be nashmashos, because miman of shach aser. You have a yom vu yomtov olaylu vu shabbos aser b'shimush b'mechubar. Meaning during a regular be nashmashos, a Friday going into Shabbos, yes, you're allowed to take something off of a tree. You're allowed to be mishtamish b'ilon. Why? Because ben hashmashos is safek chol, safek Shabbos. But when it's yantav going into Shabbos, either way, you're not allowed to use the tree. So you wouldn't be allowed to access the erev at all. Av benos yasi demitzat tiltul mekamel shusram leke israel tza b'yomtav. Oh, but when our entire issue, when the issue is about hotzah, it's about moving something from a Carmelis to Rosh Hasharabim, on Yantif there's no hotzah. On Yantif there is muktzah, but there's no hotzah. So that's why that's gonna be the nafkamina, that's gonna be the case that Tosfos' answer will work for. A very sharp teretz of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Okay, says the Mishnah now. Matirin pakiyeh, we're going to discuss now feeding animals on Shabbos. Matirin pakiyeh amir lifnei behema. That one is allowed to untie bundles of straw in front of an animal to feed the animal. And you're also allowed to scatter out kippin in front of an animal, whatever that is. We'll discuss what that is in the Gemara. Avaloas has zirin, but not zirin. And again, we'll discuss that as well. You're not allowed to crush the shachas or the charuvin in front of a behema, caribs and stubble in front of a behema, whether it's a daka or a gasa. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'charuvin ledaka. Rabbi Yehuda says no. If it's a daka, then you're allowed to crush up the charuvin. You're allowed to crush up the caribs for the behema daka. That's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, machlokas amuraim. We said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to untie bundles of straw in front of an animal, and you can scatter kippin for the animal, but not zirin. What does that mean? How do we interpret that line? Two opinions. We're going to have Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda, who's also going to come up again. Not Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, Rav Yehuda the Amora. So first Rav Huna. I'm Rav Huna. Heinen Pakiyin, Heinen Kippin. Pakiyin and Kippin are the same things. So we said you're allowed to be Matir Pakiyin Yomir and Mephasasin Kippin, so that's the same thing. It's just that Pakiyin Trey, Kippin Thlasa. Pakiyin is a bundle of two, Kippin is a bundle of three. Zirin Da'arzi. Zirin, however, are pieces of wood, of cedar wood, so or leaves from a cedar tree. Says Rashi, "Enafim lachin shel eres shemizardinos am ba'odim lachin ruin lebehema." V'roben adam neichnos on leitz. Most people will put them away, let them dry, and use them as firewood. But when they're moist, they're a little bit soft, and people will feed them to their animals. V'achikamer, and this is what the Mishnah. This is how to read the Mishnah. Then matirin pakiyah yamir lefnei behema umefasvasin v'uedin lekipin. You're allowed to untie bundles of straw in front of a behema, and you're allowed to scatter it in front of the behema, and you're allowed to do the same with kippin. Avalois hazirin lo lefaseis lo lahatir. But zirin, the cedar wood, the soft cedar wood, you're not allowed to do either one. You're not allowed to untie it. You're not allowed to spread it out. So I'm Rav Chisam, my time into Rav Huna. What's the driving force? What's the bottom line of this halacha? What's the svara? So kasavar the mitrach buuch latarchinon l'shvui achalom ashvinon. He holds you're allowed to be matriach yourself with food, but you're not allowed to make food. You're not allowed to produce food. So you can work hard to improve foods, but you're not allowed to make food. That's Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda Amar, second opinion, how to understand the Mishnah, heinin pakiyin heinin zirin. Pakiyin and zirin are the same thing. Pakiyin trei zirin tlasa. Kippin da arzi. Kippin is the cedar wood. V'achi kamar, and this is how to read the Mishnah. Matirin pakiyin yamir lefnei behema, aval pispusei lo. You're allowed to untie pakiyin in front of a behema, but you're not allowed to spread it out. V'kippin pispusei nami mefasfasinan. And kippin, which is the cedar wood in his opinion, we're more makel with. Rav Huna held we're more machmir with the cedar stuff. The Rav Yehuda says, no, we're more makel with you. You're even allowed to spread it out. Avaloh hazirin lefasfes, but zirin, you're not allowed to spread out. El lahatir, you're only allowed to untie it. So I'm Rav Maitam and Rav Yehuda. What's the svar of Rav Yehuda? Chasavar shivoy uchla mashvinan, mitrach buchla lo tarchinan. He holds the exact opposite. You're allowed to make food edible for animals on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to work too hard to just make food better. So again, Rav Huna holds, you're allowed to work hard to make food better, but not to make food edible in the first place. Rav Yehuda says the exact opposite, that you're allowed to work to make food edible, but you're not allowed to work hard to make food better. The Gemara is going to have four rayas, two rayas against Rav Huna, and two rayas against Rav Yehuda. That's the structure of the upcoming Gemara. So raya number one, Tanan, Ein maraskenes hashachas v'sacharuvin lefnei beheba, bein daka u'bein gasa. You're not allowed to crush shachas and charuvin in front of a behema, whether it's daka or gasa. That's our Mishnah. So my love, charuvin domi de shachas, aren't the types of charuvin that we're talking about similar to shachas in that ma shachas de rachichi af charuvin de rachichi, in that they're soft, just like shachas by its very nature is soft. The types of carobs that we're feeding the animal is soft. So don't you see, you're not allowed to do it, even though it's already edible, because you're not allowed to be matriach in already edible food. Because Rav Huna holds that you're allowed to be matriach to improve edible foods. So Rav Huna says, who says we're talking about soft carobs over here? Lo shachas to me the charuvin. Maybe instead of saying that we know what shachas is and our charuvin are just like shachas, maybe we know what charuvin are and our shachas that we're talking about is just like charuvin. Just like charuvin are typically hard, so too the shachas over here is hard. This whole idea of feeding charuvin to a behema is a discussion in the Achronim. The Sfasemis talks about there's a Gemara Maseches Tainis that says that machal adam ein machilin osol the behema. You're not allowed to feed people food to animals. Rashi says because it looks like you're boit betovah hishpia kodesh baruch ba'olam, that Hashem gives tova to you. He gives you something that could be used in an elevated form as food for people, and you're just going to throw it away to use it for animal food. So you're not allowed to do that. So the Sfasemis says, so it sounds from here that charuvin is Michael Behema, must not be Michael Adam. The fact the boxer, this boxer, that it's Michael Behema, it's not Michael Adam. He used to give it to all the kids on Tu B'Shvat in school, and we knew it was Michael Behema when they gave it to us, right? We wouldn't eat that stuff. But this is Yerushalmi Maishos like this. The charuvin is Michael Behema, that it's not considered Michael Adam. Sfasema says we only have one little problem. The Gemara all over the place talks about how charuvin is like the ideal food for tzaddikim. How did Rab Shimon bar Yochai and Rab Lazar in the Ma'ara in the cave, what do they eat? Charuvin. That's what they ate for all that time in the cave. When Brachas of Yitzayin and Beis, that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa ate charuvin. So Sfasema says, so it's got to be Michael Adam. What's going on over here? How are you allowed to feed it to the animal? It must be that we're talking over here where you don't have anything that you are able to feed to your animal. This is all you got to be able to feed to your animal. Or it could be that there's a difference between charuvin that are hard and charuvin that are soft. When they're hard, it's Michael Behema. When it's soft, it's Michael Adam. Like I said, what they used to give us in yeshiva, that was the Michael Behema. Rav Zilberstein Chashuk Echemed gives a different teretz. He says that maybe, based on the Prima Gadim, in Simen Shin Ches, Prima Gadim writes that on Shabbos, everyone would hold Tzar Ba'al Chaim is Dar Raisa. Even if you'll normally Tzar Ba'al Chaim is Rabban, a phenomenal, unbelievable sheet of the Prima Gadim, that the din of Tzar Ba'al Chaim changes on Shabbos. Why would it change on Shabbos? Because the Pasuk says, L'man Yanuach, that there's supposed to be a time of rest for everybody, and for the animals included. So you have to do what's good for the animals, what's comfortable for the animals. Tzar Ba'al Chaim becomes Dar Raisa. So he says, therefore, you have two options. You could starve your animal, Tzar Ba'al Chaim, or you could violate the Isser D'Rabbanan of feeding your animal people food. So you're allowed to violate the Isser D'Rabbanan of feeding your animal people food in order not to cause Tzar Ba'al Chaim, which is Da'oraisa. So anyway, so says Gemara further now. So Rav Huna said, "I'm Lach Rav Huna. Lo shachas to be dechum macharuvin da kushi av shachas da kushi. Heichem mishkachasla. How do you have hard charuvin? The ili zutri that you have these small donkeys that the shachas is too hard for them, and you need to crush it up in order for it to become a meichel for them. Meaning it's not in the state of food, and therefore you need to be matriach just to make it into food, which Rav Huna says you're allowed to do." So Tashma, let's bring another raya. Rabbi Yehuda, again, not Rav Yehuda, this is now the Tana. Rabbi Yehuda, matir b'charuvin ledaka. He allows giving charuvin to a daka. Ledaka in legasa lo, but not to a behem legasa. See, I'm a pishlom, a tanakama, some mitrach buch lo tarchinon, shavu mashvinon. See, if the tanakama holds, which is what Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are arguing about, what the tanakama holds, so if the tanakama holds, then you're allowed to be matriach in food, but you're not allowed to make food. So I understand what Rabbi Yehuda is coming to argue on. He's saying that it's that the charuvin ledaka is making food. But if you hold that the Tanakama holds that you're not allowed to make food, but you're allowed to be matriach in something that already is food. Rabbi Yehuda demata for charuvin ledaka kol shkein legasa. So Rabbi Yehuda then allows charuvin for a daka. You should for sure allow it for a gasa. So essentially, what we're saying is, since you can make food edible since Rabbi Yehuda the Tana allows shredding carobs for a small animal, that implies that you're not allowed to do it for a large animal. But if Rav Huna is correct that making food is usur, improving food is mutter, why would shredding carobs only be considered an improvement for a small animal and not for a large animal? Says Gemara, misaver daka daka mamish. You think when we say daka, daka means a behema daka? No, my daka, gasa. When we say daka, we mean a behema gasa. That's a little odd. Well, my karila daka, why would you call behema gasa a behema daka? It means that it's daka doesn't mean a small animal, it means that it chews the food very well. Daiko bu'uchla. Hamigtani resha bein daka bein gasa v'chad Rabbi Yehuda daka daka mamish kamar. Says Mark, come on. He just said bein daka bein gasa. So now you can tell me the word daka means gasa? So how do you understand the phrase bein daka bein gasa? How are you going to read that? Bein gasa? Doesn't make any sense. So kasha. Sayinachinami. That's a very strong kasha on Rav Huna. The Gemara leaves this kasha on Rav Huna unanswered. It is interesting that we have this phrase, this idea of daiko b'uchla. Daiko b'uchla we had earlier also, and Afkuf mem aleph, and over there it meant is picky about eating. So the Ramban writes that a lot of times you have the same phrase in different places in Shas, and it means different things. This is one of the, I think Rosh Hashanah quotes the Ravid, that he has Yud Gimel Midah Shatara Nidresh Shatara Shabal Pen Nidresh Ben. That just like there's Yud Gimel Midah Shatara Shabasav Nidresh Ben, he has this gimmick of a Vart to say that there are 13 rules you need to know in order to learn Torah Shabal Peh. And one of them is that the same word in multiple places means different things a lot of times, and sometimes different words in multiple places actually mean the same thing as each other. So it's not everything can be solved by looking at the Bar Ilan CD, by plugging something in, just the words alone. Words alone don't necessarily tell you the whole story. The classic example is the word chazaka. Chazaka means five or six different things throughout Shas. So the word that you can't just compare every single time. So here also, that a daikava achla over here doesn't mean that it's picky about what it eats. It means that it chews really well. So Tashma, now the Gemara brings rayas in the other direction. Two kashas in Rabbi Yehuda. Mechatkin, you're allowed to cut up gourds in front of an animal and a carcass in front of a dog. My love, aren't the types of gourds that we're talking about soft gourds? So don't you see that they're soft and edible, and you're still allowed to be matriach? You're allowed to work with them. So that's against Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm like Rabbi Yehuda, love nevela dumi d'delun. Who said we're talking about soft gourds? Maybe the type of nevela we're talking about is similar to what we normally think of gourds. Ma delumin da'ashuni af nevela da'ashuna. That they're not soft, but they're tough and they're inedible. So the work is in making them food. The work in making them into food. It's not in improving already edible food. Ve'echi mishkachsa bebasar pili inami bekur yasa zutri. So we're either talking about tough inedible food or with small animals where it's not going to be edible for them. And that's why you're making it into food. You're making this edible to begin with. Tashma, another raya against Rav Yehuda. Ditani Rav Chanan min Harda mefarchinan tevan v'aspasta uma'arvin. Alma tarchinon ba'uchla. You see that you can crumble straw and fodder, and both of those are edible. So you see there, you're being matriach in already edible food. Says Gemara, tevin b'tivin asari aspasta bi'ili zotri. That the Gemara says we're speaking of slightly slightly spoiled straw and fodder for young donkeys, where the food is already not edible for the animals, because since it's young donkeys, they can't handle it, or the straw is slightly spoiled, so they can't handle it, so it's not edible. You're actually making it into food when you do this in front of the animal. Okay, next Mishnah. All again, still about feeding animals, but now we're not going to talk about the types of foods. We're going to talk about how you can stuff the food down the animal's throat. How aggressively one is allowed to feed an animal. Ein ovsin es hagamal v'lo dorsin aval mal itin. You're not allowed to overstuff a camel with food, but you're allowed to be mal itin. You're allowed to put food down its throat. Ve'in ma'amirin es hagalim aval mal itin. You're not allowed to fatten calves, but you can put food down their throats. Umahalkatin latarnagolin, venosa mayim lamorsan. You're allowed to be mahalkatin latarnagolin, which the Gemara will explain exactly what that is, but it's some type of stuffing food down their throats. But you're allowed to put mayim lamorsan. You're allowed to put water into their bran. Avalo govlin. But once the water's in there, you're not allowed to knead it. And this is going to lead us into a discussion of the malacha of lush, of kneading, which again we probably won't get to today. Ve'inosim mayim lefnei devarim lefnei yonim shabashavach. You're not allowed to put water in front of bees or in front of doves in a dove coat. Aval nosin lefnei avazin v'tarnagolin lefnei yoni hadrisayos. But you're allowed to put it in front of geese and in front of chicken and in front of chickens and in front of yoni hadrisayos, in front of different types of birds. So my ein ovsin. What do we mean when we say ein ovsin in the Mishnah? That you're not allowed to be oves es hagamal. Which, by the way, Tosfos points out that the Gemara in the beginning of Erevin, we're going to have in 3 weeks from now, says that when it talks about Pase Biraos, so many, many dapim in a row, all about Pase Biraos, whole parak pretty much, about Pase Biraos, where when you make these makeshift walls around a bar to allow yourself to take water from the bar and feed your animals, so in that context it says, Gomel Sharosho Verubo Mibifnim, Ovsunoso Mibifnim, that if the Rosho Verubo of a Gomel is inside the Pasi Biros, it's inside those makeshift walls, so you're allowed to stuff food down its throat, mibifnim, inside those walls. Meaning it's not an issue of carrying, it's not an issue that it's going to stick its head outside into the Rishos HaRabim. But wait a second, what do you mean osim mibifnim? Up there the Gemara is just talking about whether it's Rishos HaRabim, Rishos HaYachid issue. But how are you allowed to be oves at all? Our Mishnah says, ain ovsin es hagamal. So Tosfos says, you have to say that the word ovsin means something different over there than it means over here. So he says, also hach avisa lav hainu avisa mamish tamrin hacha ein ovsin ve'ya avisa hainu alata. Again, another example of the same word, two different places, it means two different things. So anyway, so my ein ovsin, what does ein ovsin mean? Amr of Yudei ein ovsin la evos betoch me'eha. You're not allowed to stuff it so much that it's as if you made a feeding trough inside its stomach. Mi iko ki agavna, is there such a thing that you could feed it so much that it's like there's a feeding trough in its stomach? In, k'dam rab yirmi midifti lididi chazi le'ehut haya, dach l'kura vati l'kura. He said, I saw a certain guy that fed his animal, fattened his animal so much that it made the animal so wide it was able to hold the core of food, such a bundle. Ein ma'amirin, ezui hamra ve'ezui halata. So what's the difference between hamra'a and halata? We said you're not allowed to be ma'amiras ha'galim, but you're allowed to be mal'it. So Amar Rav Yehuda, hamra'a l'makom she'yichol la'achzir, halata l'makom she'yichol la'achzir. Very simple difference. Hamra'a is where you stuff it so far down that it's not able to regurgitate, it's not able to bring it back up. Halata is a place where it is still able to spit it out, to cough it up. Rav Chista Amar Idi v'idi l'makom she'yichol la'achzir. Rav Chista says no. Both of them refer to stuffing it to a place where it's not able to cough it up. V'amra b'kli halata b'yad. Hamra is where you stuff it down with a kli. Halata is when you do it by hand. Masav Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asked the Kasha. Rav Yosef is going to ask on Rav Yehuda. Again, we had a machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rav Chista about the difference between Hamra and Halata. Rav Yehuda was one that said Hamra is stuffing the food to a place that it cannot return. Halata is stuffing it to a place where it can still return. It can still cough it up. So Masav Rav Yosef, Mahalketin Tarnagolin, Vein Sorach Lamar Shamalkitin. We said you're allowed to be Mahalket Tarnagolin and certainly Malkitin. Vein Malkitin Leone Shavach Leone Aliyah, Vein Sorach Mahalkatin. But you can't be Malkit or Mahalkate to Yoni Shavach and Yoni Aliyah. So what do these words mean? My Mahalkatin and my Malkitin. What does that mean? So Ilema Mahalkatin to Safile Biadaim, Malkitin to Shadile Kamayu. So if you say Mahalkatin means you stuff it down with your hands and Malkitin just means you throw the food in front of it. So what? Then by Yoni Shavach and Yoni Aliyah, it's telling us you're not even allowed to throw the food in front of it? That doesn't make any sense. So that can't be the difference between Mahalkitin and Malkitin. Elalav Mahalkitin l'makom sheinichol l'achzir, Malkitin l'makom sheinichol l'achzir. It must be the difference between Mahalkitin and Malkitin is, can it cough it back up? Nechal d'hamra b'kli v'tiyof d'zrav Yehuda. If that's the difference between Mahalkitin and Malkitin, so when our Mishnah says hamra, it has to be an even more forceful form of feeding. So that must mean with a kli, which is against Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda held they're both by hands. It's just that one is to a place where it can bring it back up, the other one where it's not. But hamra is supposed to be more forceful than both Mahalkitin and Malkitin. So if that's the whole difference between Mahalkitin and Malkitin, hamra must mean something stronger. It must mean even with a kli. So Amalek Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda would say no. Your first understanding of the difference between Mahalkitin and Malkitin was accurate. That Mahalkitin means you stuff it down the throat with the hands. Malkitin means you just throw it in front of the animal. Aye, we had a problem. Then what's the problem with throwing it in front of a Yoni Hadrasayos? With the Kakashalach? Yoni Shavach, Yoni Aliyah, Lemishta Kamayu Namilo. So Hanim Zonos, why is it usher to even throw it in front of them? Hanim Zonos. Very important halacha. If an animal is not your responsibility to feed, you're not even allowed to throw food in front of it. This is the tashlich issue. Is one of the big misconceptions in Judaism that people think there's some sort of maila to go to tashlich and throw food in front of the animals. If the animals are not your responsibility to feed, meaning they're not your pets, you're not allowed to feed them on Shabbos and Yontif. Right? That's the isser of feeding an animal. That's this isser. Ein mizonos analecha. Kiditanya, nosim mizonos lefnei kelav, ein nosim mizonos lefnei chazir. You're allowed to put food in front of a dog, but not in front of a chazir. Uma hefresh ben zel lezeh, zem mizonos analecha. Difference is that you have no responsibility to feed a chazer. You do have responsibility to feed a dog. Who says you don't have responsibility to feed a chazer? So says Rashi, because you can't own one. Or Yehudi sheyigadol chazirim, that a Jew that raises pigs is cursed. So since you're not allowed to own it, mistam, it's not mizonos nalecha. The Ramban says that the chazer, it's not your responsibility to feed, because the chazer is mitzuyin mizonos b'kol shah. He rolls around in the dirt, he finds food very easily. He's not very picky, so it's never mizonos nalecha, because he'll always be able to find food on his own. So Magen Avraham quotes the reason that Rashi says that you're not allowed to be Megadil Chazirim. Machsa Shekel points out there's a nafkamina between the two reasons. What if someone is Nafalo Birusha, or he's Gova Bechovo, someone owes him money, and he's Gova Chazirim Bechovo? So you're allowed to hang on to them until you're able to find a buyer, until you sell them. So you're not violating the Isser, it's not Or Megadil Chazirim. So according to Rashi, it would be Mizonos Melecha. According to the Ramban, it would not be, because let him find his own food. Amar Ravashi Masnisa Nami Deka. Enos Amayim Fnei Dvarim Fnei Yonim Shabashovach. Why do we distinguish between these different types of birds? It must be that some of them are your responsibility to feed, those are the ones you're allowed to feed, and some of them aren't. But if that's the whole logic, then why is it only about water? What about chitim usarim? No, water is very readily available. That's why you're not allowed to do it. Din dalim yodak rosh baruch bekelav shem zanos muatim fichach shara achilas b'me'ad gimel yamim. Hashem knows that a dog doesn't have very much food, and therefore he makes the dog in such a way that it takes 3 days for it to digest its food. Kedetan kametisha achilas b'me'ad v'yetame. What if a dog swallows something that's tame? And the dog walks into a room. So while it's alive, certainly the room is not tame because it's tuma valua. Then the dog dies. So how long did the food have to be in the dog's stomach for it to no longer be considered a piece of a mace, let's say, that's going to be metame ba'ohel? So v'kelev gimel yam mace leis. We assume that it still is a mace. It's still a piece of a mace until it's been inside the dog for 3 full days. Once it's been there for 3 full days, then it's fully digested. It's no longer considered a mace. The poskim talk about this. Rishonim talk about would the same thing be true if the dog ate chametz before Pesach. we just say that it, since it takes 3 days to digest, so it would still be still have a din of chametz. Okay, ba'ofus u'dagim k'deisha tipol la'arvet tisraf. Ba'ofus u'dagim is the amount of time it would take to burn in a fire. We see that you should throw raw meat to a dog. Just a little bit of raw meat, but then make sure you hit the dog with a stick afterwards, because you don't want the dog to follow you home. And even then, you should only do it in the midbar, but not in the middle of town, because then the dog is going to follow you home. There's nothing poorer than a dog. Dog, and there's nothing richer than a chazir. Beis Hashem, will start tomorrow with a couple of pshatim, what that line means, that there's nothing poorer than a dog or richer than a chazir.